all of them. It would only be natural for the son of a master of power to want to become a mage himself. Was Imbue Arrow the closest the sprite had come to using his mana? Richter decided it was time to try again. Even if air magic wouldn't work, he wouldn't rest until he helped his friend feel complete. There were three other powers affiliated with his place of power. If air didn't work, he would try dark or water magic. Knowing instinctually exactly how to place his hands, his left went upon the sprite's head, and his right went onto his friend's chest. Words came unbidden to his lips. "By the right of my power, I awaken your power." A warmth began in Richter's chest. It reminded him of freedom, wild destruction, and gentle rain. It spread from his heart and down both arms to the ends of his hands. The energy flowed into the sprite and found what could only be described as a resonance. The power threaded through the sprite's mind and soul. Sion's eyes widened, and tears cascaded down his face. "Not life, nor earth, nor light could I learn. I saw my mother's gift pass to others, but never did her magic awaken anything inside of me. I tried not to envy or hate. I tried not to let my discontent ruin the harmony of our home, but all knew." Sion's voice began to quiver with repressed emotion. He took a moment to compose himself. When he spoke again, there was a certainty to his words. "I am with you for life, my lord." Your relationship with your companion Sion has improved from friendly to ally. Sion will fight with you and for you unto death, and if he can find a way back through the veil, will fight for you again. "Sion, you are my friend. I have to put up with this my lord stuff from Futin, but not from you. I need my friend," Richter said almost pleadingly. "And that I am," Sion replied, sticking out his arm. Richter returned the gesture, and they clasped wrists, sharing a quiet moment. "Well, enough of all that. Nobody likes a sissy," Richter said gruffly. Seeing Sion's confused look, he realized he needed to devote some time to teaching his friend slang and swear words. They had to be at least as important as magic. "I'll tell you later," he said with a chuckle. He left his friend to examine his new magic. Walking up to the skeleton mage, he began to search the body. "You have found novice ice mage robes, defense +2, additional +4 versus magical attack. Durability 14 of 20, item class common, quality average, weight 3.7 kilograms. You have found 2 gold coins, 19 silver coins, and 55 copper coins. You have found magic staff, attack 12 to 15, durability 17 of 25, item class scarce, quality well crafted, weight 5.1 kilograms. Looking at Futin, he held up the staff. The orb took the hint and flared white. The identified item's information flashed into Richter's mind. You have found Corrupted Staff of the Ice Wizard. Attack 12 to 15. Durability 17 of 25. Item class scarce. Quality well crafted. Weight 5.1 kilograms. Traits: -10% cost of water spells. +2% strength to death magic. Must have negative alignment to use. Sion pulled out his sword and approached the ghoul. "What are you doing?" Richter asked.
"The ghoul's heart is a useful potion component."
Leaving the sprite to his gruesome task, he was about to collect the weapons from the warriors when Futin spoke.
"Are you going to take the altar, my lord?"
Looking at the large black stone, he asked, "How? That thing must weigh a couple tons. And what's it good for, anyway?"
"The magic core of the altar has many uses. The skeletal mage was using it to focus his power. That is why it was able to resist your strikes for as long as it did. The altar was acting like a mana fount that it could tap into."
"Well, I still don't know how to take it. It's huge."
"Again, it is only the core you need, my lord."
Was Futin's tone getting a bit condescending? Richter asked himself. The remnant continued.
"You have taken control of the dungeon by slaying its boss. Simply place your hand on the altar and you will gain access to the interface.
Putting his hand on the black altar, he was suddenly able to access the information.
Dark Altar Level 1 provides 100 mana per day.
The interface had only a few basic prompts, unlike the many options for the Mist Village. Two that caught his interest were Access Mana and Remove Core. Richter's eyes narrowed for a moment. Access Mana? Oh, Futin, is there a way for me to personally use the mana that the Mist Village makes? Say, to power my imbue arrow skill, you know, so I don't run out of mana in the middle of a fight and almost die because of it? He finished the question with an angry rise in his voice.
Yes, my lord.
Praying for patience, he asked, Why didn't you tell me?
Oh. The remnant paused. I thought that was obvious.
He didn't fight it this time.
Chapter 17, Day 18, Siobhan 6, 15,368 ABG.
It turned out the magical core was a clockwork sphere. Through the gaps in the mechanism, red and white light shone through, and the feeling of a strong electric field was palpable when he held it. It wasn't an unpleasant feeling, more like feeling static in the air. The description of the item was written in gold lettering upon the prompt. It was the first time he had seen this. The common items he had found were white, uncommon, blue, and rare was written in red. It appeared that golden items were mythic. Fingers crossed, he hoped he could figure out the colors of epic, legendary, and artifact items soon.
You have found Magic Core. Durability 15,000 of 15,000. Item class mythic. Quality masterwork. Weight, 12.7 kilograms. Magical cores can be used to power any number of devices.
A few more questions to Futin revealed that he could access the mana generated by the place of power anywhere within the boundaries of his domain, an area of over 300 square miles. The benefits of increasing the level of his village were becoming clearer. The higher the level, the greater the reach of his magic, and the more mana he could personally access. Even with the village at level 1, the 1,000 mana available was the equivalent of investing 100 points into intelligence. Excited about the possibilities, Richter loaded the ponies with the loot from their battle, and the two companions made their way back to the village. During the journey, he invested his new characteristics point and examined both his and Sion's current status. He placed 2 points in intelligence, 2 points into constitution, and 2 more into dexterity. Name, Richter, age 24, level 8, 41%, health 160, mana 180, stamina 160, strength 11, agility 11, dexterity 30, base 19 plus items 11, constitution 16, endurance 16, intelligence 18, wisdom 10, charisma 18, luck 14. Abilities, limitless, gift of tongues, fast learner. Skills. Herb Lore, level 3, 92% to next level. Alchemy, level 1, 0% to next level. Analyze, level 1, 77% to next level. Stealth, level 4, 49% to next level. Archery, level 4, 85% to next level. Imbue Arrow, level 3, 93% to next level. Focus, level 1, 76% to next level. Swordsmanship, level 1, 73% to next level. Small Blades, level 1, 0% to next level. Light Armor, level 2, 88% to next level. Air Magic, level 1, 0% to next level. Life Magic, level 1, 11% to next level. Marks. Master of the Mist Village. Resistances. Air, 50%. Mental, 5%. Spiritual, 5%. Race, Human, Chaos Seed. Reputation, level 1. Who are you again? Alignment, Neutral. Languages, Common, Sprite. Name, Sion. Age, 34. Level, 8, 71% to next level. Health, 203. Mana, 224. Stamina, 120. Strength, 17. Agility, 18. Dexterity, 46. Constitution, 16. Endurance, 12. Intelligence, 18. Wisdom, 13. Charisma, 9. Luck, 12. Abilities. Woodcraft. Forest concealment. Skills. Herb lore, level 10. 40% to next level, 65% affinity. Alchemy, level 3. 31% to next level, 88% affinity. Archery, level 42. 22% to next level, 73% affinity. Imbue arrow, level 29. 11% to next level, 87% affinity. Focus, level 25, 16% to next level, 82% affinity. Tracking, level 12, 51% to next level, 77% affinity. Small blades, level 18, 79% to next level, 73% affinity. Light armor, level 24, 79% to next level, 81% affinity. Air magic, level 1, 0% to next level, 96% affinity. Marks, none. Resistances, life, 10%, earth, 10%, light, 10%. Race, wood sprite. Reputation, level 1, who are you again? Alignment, plus 2. Languages, sprite, common. His friend had increased several of his skills. That was expected, but what was interesting to Richter were his affinities. If Richter remembered correctly, Sion's affinities had been a bit higher last time he had checked his status page. If the sprite was any indication, then it appeared that for most people and creatures, as they leveled up their skills, the associated affinities decreased. It meant there was a theoretical ceiling for everyone in how far they could progress that would vary from person to person and skill to skill. If his ability to teach air magic was any indication, a skill could not even be learned if a person's affinity was less than 50%. Richter was finally starting to truly appreciate his ability. The potential for limitless was, well, limitless. The trip back to the village was uneventful, but they were thankfully able to find several more healing herbs. Upon arriving back, Richter placed the magic core in the vault. He was sure that it was worth a fortune if he sold it, but was equally sure it could greatly increase the power of his village down the road. An item that was epic class and masterwork quality had to come in handy. The staff seemed like it could be powerful in the right hands, but the corruption severely limited its usefulness. Richter really didn't understand the importance of alignment yet. It was easy to think that negative was bad and positive was good, but he had a feeling it was more nuanced. Sion was positive alignment, but his people had shoot-on-site orders for anyone in their territory. Not exactly a cute and cuddly policy. Despite being unsure of what it all meant, he still wasn't in a rush to let the staff fall into the hands of a creature of negative alignment. Maybe he could purify it, though. Futin, can the corruption on this staff be removed?
Yes, my lord. Either light or life magic can be used to remove corruption. One of the few forms of magic available at level 1 of the village is curse removal. The cost is 200 mana. Would you like to use it?
Yes, do it. No, wait! I will do it myself.
Very well, my lord. The spell will have a higher likelihood of success if you cast it in the room with the Great Seal.
Why? Richter asked, curious.
Just as the village is the physical manifestation of your place of power, the Great Seal is the physical representation of the ley lines which comprise it. That is why it has the strength to keep monsters of the catacombs at bay. Though your domain extends beyond this village, as we discussed, your ability to access your powers will always be greatest at the core.
Richter nodded, then climbed the small hill that led to the Great Seal. When he got there, he was somewhat surprised. The mosaic had changed. At least part of it had. The clear spiral that was set in the floor had changed from tiles to a solid piece of crystal. It was now shining a faint yellow light. The other three arms remained the same. It appeared that when Richter had claimed his power, it had awakened part of the design. He felt a faint thrum in the room that had not been there previously. He walked to the center of the Great Seal. A quick check showed that most of the mana from casting confusing mist had been regenerated. He then found the proper spell under the village interface and cast it.
Motes of light began to fill the chamber they were standing in.
They coalesced around the staff, and when they disappeared, The black stains that had been present at the end were gone. It was also the clear blue of Arctic ice now, rather than the opaque blue it had been before. Examining it again, he found it had increased in strength. Staff of the Ice Wizard. Attack, 14 to 18. Durability, 30 of 30. Item class, scarce. Quality, well-crafted. Weight, 5.1 kilograms. Traits, minus 10% cost to water spells. He checked his status page again and saw that his progression in life magic had progressed from 11% to 49% just by casting one high-level spell. Just another little perk of being a master, he supposed. Gotta love it when you can power level. Sure that the staff would come in handy, Richter packed it on the ponies. He also loaded them with the better weapons they had found so far. Counting the coins from the chest that had been in the treasury, he found 55 gold coins, 215 silver, and 174 copper. Unfortunately, he had no idea if he was a wealthy man or a pauper. Even though in the game a copper had equaled $1, Richter couldn't trust that the conversion held true. A loaf of bread could be worth a gold coin for all he knew. Sion was no help in this. The wood sprites had a clearly xenophobic attitude and didn't mingle with the humans of the neighboring kingdom. Richter would just have to figure it out on the way. One thing was clear. It was time to grow his village, and that meant getting help. Even though he was chomping at the bit to unlock more of his powers, the next quest required that he be at least 2 levels higher. Presumably, the subsequent quests would have level requirements as well. Waiting around just wasn't his style. He needed to travel into the Kingdom of Eve to find people that would settle in his village. Richter instructed Feuden to continue collecting resources for when he returned. The remnant surprisingly took some initiative and told Richter about a nearby quarry that had provided the stone for the village in the past. There were several tasks Richter wanted Feuden to attend to. Quarrying the stone, harvesting iron from the mine, widening and deepening the trench surrounding the village, and clearing trees for 200 yards around its borders. Warning the remnant to always leave enough mana to pay the confusing mist upkeep, he and Sion turned to leave. Feuden gave his customary, "Yes, my lord," and that was that. The next day, Richter and Sion started on their journey through the forest. The basic plan was to follow Hisako's directions and head west until they reached the edge of the forest. Using Tommy Lee Jones's math, a fugitive could move over uneven terrain at 4 miles per hour. That fugitive was obviously not going through mountainous terrain in virgin forest. Even though they walked a solid 12 to 14 hours a day, there was no way they traveled more than 25 to 30 miles before they rested for the night. Of course, that didn't factor in having to backtrack around obstructions, their slowed pace with the ponies, or the most important issue. Neither Richter nor Sion was as badass as the man that played Indiana Jones and Han Solo. Sion didn't understand Richter's obsession with distances or hurrying. For the first few hours, it frustrated Richter to no end. The laissez-faire attitude of the wood sprite was so un-American. After that ridiculous thought, Richter realized that maybe he was being a bit silly, and with a small laugh at himself, relaxed and decided to enjoy the journey. They moved beyond the borders of the mist during the first day and had no issues until the second night. A pack of wolves was seen that evening. They made camp early and built the fire high. The wolves started approaching but lost interest after a sizable portion of the lead wolf was turned into bloody chunks by Sion's imbued arrow. While not able to salvage the pelt, that night Richter discovered that wolf meat was quite tasty, despite being gamier than what he was used to. They were able to kill several rabbits, foxes, and one small brown bear during their trip. They only hunted at the end of each day, though, when they had time to skin the animals and dry the pelts over a low fire. The first few days they traveled along the small river that flowed by the village. It rejoined the larger river that Richter had followed upon arriving in the land, and they continued west. In addition to hunting, they practiced their weak haste spell as often as they could, hoping to advance their skill. They both increased their air magic by 1 level, Richter slightly ahead of Sion. The herb lore skill also increased for both of them gradually as they picked useful plants along their journey. About a week into the journey, Sion suddenly motioned for him to lower himself to the ground. Tying up the ponies, they moved at a slow crawl to look over a drop-off in front of them. Just about 15 feet away from the lip of the small cliff was a 10-foot-tall green humanoid eating a stag. It didn't show any squeamishness as it reached into the animal's body. Its oversized hands were tipped with thick, black claws, and it pulled meat and viscera indiscriminately into its maw. The jaw must have been able to dislocate like a snake's, because it shoved almost an entire leg into its mouth before chewing loudly. The sound of snapping bones put Richter's teeth on edge. He used Analyze on it. Mountain Troll, level 22, health 1,100 of 1,100, mana 0 of 0, stamina 520 of 520. Richter's face froze into a twisted expression, as if he had eaten something sour. Making eye contact with Sion, he motioned sharply with his head for them to leave. Sion's face adopted a perfect, "What the hell did you think we were going to do?" expression, and nodded back. With slow, deliberate moves, they eased back from the edge on their stomachs and then collected their mounts. They backtracked a good half an hour before setting on a path that would take them well wide of the creature. Sion later told him about the troll. The creatures were apparently brutally strong and fast. They were aggressive almost to the point of insanity and were driven solely by the desire to feed. Worst, though, was that they regenerated so fast that even massive wounds didn't slow them. Without dismembering it and then lighting it on fire, it would not stop until it had eaten you, most likely alive. Though the troll was the greatest threat they came upon, it was not the only one. A few days later, while taking a break to eat, Sion was ranging around the campsite. It was something he had a tendency to do. Richter wasn't sure if constant movement was something endemic to the wood sprites, or if Sion just had a bad case of ADHD. Whichever was the case, his friend would often scout in small circles around any area they paused at or stopped at for the night. This time, Sion came back to the camp excited.
"I need some time to do something. It might take a bit. Is that all right?"
After Richter's nod, he pulled out his mortar and pestle and started grinding. Richter didn't recognize the herbs, but they combined to make a grayish-red paste. Sion scraped it onto a piece of bark he cut from a nearby tree, being careful not to get it onto his skin. He left camp again with no explanation, moving quickly back the way he had come. Bemused but not concerned, Richter simply continued to relax. It was nice taking a bit of a longer break. Walking for days on end was not as glamorous or restful as it might seem. He laid on his back with his pack as a pillow and looked up at the forest canopy and the snatches of blue sky that could be seen between the leaves. About 20 minutes later, Sion came back smiling broadly and said,
"I found something. Come with me. I'll need your help."
Richter got to his feet. "Where are we going?"
"Just come and leave the ponies. They will be safer here."
Not exactly sure what he meant by safer, Richter just shrugged and did as he was asked. The two of them walked 200 yards from where they had been eating. Sion stopped walking and pointed to a large, dead tree. The trunk was about 3 meters wide and 6 meters high. The top was jagged and irregular, clearly only the base of a once much larger tree. There was a large hole at the bottom of the trunk, leading down into the earth. The opening was about 3 feet tall. Richter could probably make his way into it, but it would be tight. "Okay, great. An old dead tree. Is it a long-lost relative?" Sion huffed in irritation.
"No, Gyoti."
The translation was something like "irritating fool," as best as Richter could make out with his gift of tongues ability.
"This was an offshoot. It was the beginning of a hearth tree long ago. Something obviously happened."
Sion picked up the bark with the gray-red paste on it and tossed it down the hole. "But the hearth tree is huge," Richter protested. "This thing is a toothpick in comparison."
"That's because our hearth tree is built on a place of power. Normally, hearth trees are just the center of a wood sprite community, though sprites may live within it if it gets big enough.
So finding this is like finding a piece of your history? Richter asked. History had never really been his strong point. He still shuddered when he thought about the historical tours his grandmother would drag him on. At some point, people just need to admit that looking at old homes in Gatlinburg was not that great.
Yes, it is, Sion said with his previous excitement.
He either did not pick up on or decided to ignore Richter's nonplussed tone. And why not? He was just talking to a Gyoti, after all.
More important, though, is that the Seed Corps might still be viable.
Richter just looked at him. Sion peered at Richter from the corner of his eye, then looked back at the tree, then peered again, this time with a small turn of his head, then looked back at the tree. This continued for a good 5 minutes, with Richter just staring at the sprite. The human's stubborn resistance finally won out.
"Do you know what that means?"
Sion asked, exasperated.
"You know that I don't. You knew before you said it that I didn't know what a seed core was. You could have just called it a mystical booty scratcher. I still wouldn't know. Just tell me." "Fine. You humans are so cranky and impatient. A seed core,"
Sion paused for a moment. Richter was sure just to mess with him.
"Is how you make a hearth tree, a guardian wood, or a host of other magical trees. One of the sacred duties of my people is to further the cause of good by growing magical trees for the betterment of all."
"Oh, so it's like a stem cell?" Sion looked at him, confused. Richter gave his best sarcastic grin. "Not so fun when someone drops a term you don't know, is it?" Changing his expression to one of gracious forbearance, he said, "You may continue." Grinding his teeth, Sion said,
"The point is, the hearth tree only makes a seed core once every few hundred years, if that. If the core is still viable, it will be a wonderful boon."
"This tree looks like it has been dead for a long time, Sion. Why would you think that this seed core thing wasn't dead too?"
"The core is a source of great magical power. It gives to nature, but also is maintained by it. As long as its power is not drawn upon too much or too fast, it can sustain itself almost indefinitely."
Okay, I'm sold," Richter said. "How do we check?"
"We simply need to go down into the bowels of the tree and see if we can find it. I should be able to feel a resonance if I'm close enough. It will be a round sphere, about yay big."
Sion held his hands apart, showing something the size of a grapefruit.
"Okay, that won't take long. Let's do it," Richter said.
Sion looked at him a moment, opening his mouth to speak, and then closing it again, looking indecisive.
"What is it?" Richter asked.
"Well, from the stories I have heard, if a seed core is ever left out for a long period of time, it has the tendency to attract monsters. The healing and regenerative properties of the core can be used to make the monster stronger, more resilient, or bigger."
"What do you mean exactly by bigger?"
"Just that. The elders told stories of giant ants or snakes. I'm sure that they were exaggerating. Besides, we don't need to worry about that here."
"Phew. For a second I thought we were going to be overrun with flesh-eating beetles or something,"
Richter said with a small laugh. He had never really been a big fan of bugs. The sprite laughed in return.
No. There are no flesh-eating beetles in the forest of Nadria."
There was a short pause.
"What we do have is a vicious animal called a skeeling. It's usually only about the size of a badger. It's completely blind, but has excellent hearing. It's subterranean, and they normally do not wander to the surface. The animal has rigid scales and a very distinctive smell. They have been known to burrow under trees and eat the roots, killing the tree. You can understand that it is a pest we try to get rid of whenever we can."
Richter nodded along. He thought it was remarkable that Sion had so much information about this one specific forest creature, but he also wondered why he was focusing so much on it. The sprite continued.
"Now, skeelings are mean and fast. They have two rows of sharp teeth that can tear through an animal in seconds. Luckily, they hate the extract of red vine mixed with iron leaf. It's bad enough that it drives them out of their holes and above ground. Then they are much easier to kill. Now, when I was wandering earlier, I found this."
He tossed a flat, palm-sized rock to Richter.
"I didn't know what it was at first. It had ridges like a skeeling scale, but was way too big. Most scales on adult male skeelings are about the size of your thumbnail. Are you following me so far?"
Richter nodded again, starting to feel uneasy about story time.
"Well, now that I have found this old hearth tree, it makes sense that a skeeling might have made its home underneath.
Okay, so you want to drive it out from underneath the tree?
Yes. As I said, it would only take a mixture of red vine and iron leaf. We toss it down the hole, and the skeeling is so angry it comes to the surface. Then we can kill it and look for the seed core.
Scion, Richter said quietly, does red vine and iron leaf make a grayish-red paste when you mix them?
It does,
the sprite said in an innocent voice with a smile on his face. Would you want to avoid getting it on your skin?
Oh, yes. It causes horrible itching, the sprite replied. That's why it's best to keep it in a container, or on something like a bark plate.
Hmm, Richter said. And if you were to throw something like that mixture down a hole, how long would it take for the skeeling to react?
Hmm, Scion replied. That is actually a fascinating topic. Now that you ask it, it would depend on time of day. Skeelings are nocturnal. If it were to be exposed to red vine and iron leaf at night, it would go into an immediate rage. If, however, it were to smell the mixture during the daytime...
Like now, you mean? Richter interjected.
Yes, Richter, like now. Well, in that case, it might take a few minutes to wake it up, but I can promise you it would be extra furious when it did.
So it might take almost exactly the amount of time it took you to relate all of this information?
About that amount of time. Yes, Richter,
Scion replied. Losing patience, Richter asked, okay, so what do we do after it comes up?
Well, Scion replied with an evil grin, depending on your perspective, this is the easiest part. Just run, and I'll kill it before it eats you.
The ground in front of the tree exploded upward, and a shrill screech filled the air. The skeeling was not the size of a badger. The thing was the size of a brown bear. It had an armored carapace like an armadillo. The four legs of the creature ended in three-fingered paws. Each finger was tipped with a wicked black talon, arched slightly inward towards the palm. It was off-white in color, and its face resembled a rodent of some kind. The eyelids were closed, and two large triangular ears stuck straight up from its head. The snout was rat-like, but when it threw back its head and shrieked, the teeth were flat and tapered to be sharp at the bottom.
Run! Scion shouted.
The sprite had begun imbuing an arrow as soon as the creature appeared. He struck it in the side, and the arrow impacted with its customary boom. The skeeling fell, knocking over a small tree, but got back up quickly. The arrow hadn't pierced its hide.
This might be a problem!
The sprite called out. As the skeeling began running towards them, attracted by the sound of their voices, Richter looked over and shouted,
You think? Move!
The sprite jumped up into the tree he had been standing underneath. Richter didn't waste time firing an arrow, but cast weak haste on himself instead. Then he enacted the second phase of his master plan. He ran his butt off. Weak haste let him keep ahead of the monster that was clearly attracted to his footsteps. Not by very much, however. Scion rained down shots on the creature, which slowed it down, but did little damage against its armored hide. As Richter ran for his life, he realized his current situation was probably due to poor communication. He was all for taking initiative and pursuing one's own personal bliss, but Scion could have given him a better heads up. He really needed to have a discussion with the sprite and teach him that communication was the foundation for any true friendship. Then maybe in the future, he could avoid narrowly being eaten by a horrible albino rat monster. Of course, maybe all of this was happening because Scion was just a dick and needed him to act like bait. Richter screamed. The tip of the skeeling's claws had caught him on the back and disrupted his reflective train of thought. Most of the damage was blocked by his armor, but blood freely flowed down from his right shoulder. He put on a burst of extra speed to add some distance between himself and the monster. The running and dodging had taken them exactly opposite in the small clearing to the tree that Scion was hiding in. The sprite was imbuing his arrow for another strike. Richter began running at the tree and counted the seconds that he saw the aura. 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, the blue aura was blinding. The churning of earth and heavy padfalls of the skeeling could be heard getting closer behind Richter. At a distance of only 10 yards, Richter dove forward, and a split second later, Scion released. Richter landed badly, wrenching his ankle. He rolled over and drew his short sword. Hopefully, he could at least wound the creature and drive it off. He really did not want to be eaten again. He was worrying for nothing, though. The last arrow had connected, whereas strikes to the beast's body had failed to produce an effect. Sion's overpowered shot to the Skeeling's face made it nosedive into the ground. Its body created a furrow in the ground 10 feet long. It lay motionless for a few moments, and then lifted its head to screech again in rage and defiance. Richter had not wasted time, though. He hobbled forward, arm held low and cocked, then rammed his blade into the creature's eye. A faint pop could be felt up his sword arm as he penetrated the eye, followed quickly by the crunch of facial bones and then a meaty resistance as his blade entered gray matter. Without even a death cry, the Skeeling's head became dead weight, and Richter withdrew his weapon to the sound of further grating of bones. He looked up at the sprite's triumphant face and communicated what was in his heart. "You're an asshole!" His companion lightly dropped down and did not deign to address Richter's assertion. The sprite merely slapped him good-naturedly on the back as he walked past to the Skeeling's body. Sion looked up at his friend and said,
"Good job! I couldn't have done it without you."
The grin had not left the sprite's face. Richter shook his head and repeated silently to himself, "This is what happens when you have poor communication." He resolved to make more of an effort to engage his friend in the future, specifically about his sick sense of humor. Sion had not stopped looking at the creature and was walking around it now, marveling at its size. After 2 complete laps, he looked back and said,
"Now let's see what we have got."
Richter took a healing herb out of his pack and started munching on it. He barely noticed the slightly bitter taste anymore. Honestly, it wasn't any worse than some of those frou-frou salads that were so popular back on Earth. He walked along behind Sion and reflected it was strange that he didn't really miss his old life. The action, adventure, danger, and reward he had found in the land resonated with something inside of him. True, he missed his family and friends. He would also kill for a chicken biscuit. Here, though, he felt like he had purpose. Even running from the Skeeling was more satisfying and exciting than almost anything that had happened to him back on Earth. This was where he belonged. He had also leveled his light armor skill, which was nothing to sneeze at. Sion had reached the tree, oblivious to Richter's introspective thoughts. The wood sprite immediately began lowering himself down into the hole. Pushing his musings aside for another time, Richter took his pack off, leaving it at the entrance to the tree and climbed down as well. The space was actually reasonably large for a subterranean gopher hole, that is. A phosphorescent blue moss gave off a faint illumination. The ceiling was about 4.5 feet from the floor, so while he couldn't stand upright, he could move along at a reasonably comfortable crouch. The small area they were in couldn't have been more than 40 square feet, but in front of them was another large hole leading downward at a gentle slope. Sion's sword was out, and he moved forward warily. They dropped down to the second level. It was a larger cavern, about 20 yards across and 30 yards deep. There was nothing living, but the floor was littered with hundreds of bones. Many seemed animal-like, but more than a few were the long bones or skulls of humanoids. This thing had been preying on passers-by for quite a while. The stench was also a bit overpowering, as it had placed its waste wherever it wanted. Richter tried not to think too much about the overly soft earth or the fact that his shoes sank several inches into the ground. Sion moved to the center of the room. He closed his eyes and held both arms out to his side. He stood like that for over a minute, and then walked with certainty to the back of the cavern. He started digging in the ground with his bare hands, throwing clods of dirt to the side. Sighing, Richter thought, in for a penny, in for a pound. He knelt beside his friend and began digging as well. He was sure that the stench was permanently sinking into his skin. After digging for 3 feet, however, a smell began to compete with the offal. The new scent was like clean earth. A memory came to Richter's mind. He was standing in the park with an old girlfriend. They had stood under a willow, the branches reaching almost to the ground, and around them, a seriously intense rainstorm had let loose its fury. Only a few drops had made their way through the canopy to fall on the two of them, and they had just stood there in silence. It was the last time they had touched. After that, the inevitable arguments of youth had broken them apart. Even though it was a bittersweet memory, Richter had always still cherished it. The faint, clean smell of rain on grass was somehow the same as what he was experiencing now. Richter shook his head, clearing his mind. Sion was standing in front of him, holding a brown sphere with light green veins running across the surface. The veins glowed with a gentle light. Sion was smiling.
"I don't know what you were thinking, but I know it was a reassuring memory of nature. That is what the Seed Core truly is. It is the potential for something wonderful. I know I was cavalier earlier and should have told you what I had planned. I was excited to find an offshoot and possibly a Seed Core. More than that, though, I could not let such a wonderful talisman of good be used to feed the power of whatever evil creature had found it. Thank you for helping me, my friend."
Richter was moved by the sprite's sincerity. He told him, "I'm here for you, man. I will fight beside you, and what is important to you is important to me." Sion smiled in appreciation. "But you're still an asshole, buddy," Richter finished. Sion's smile grew wider, and he gave a small laugh.
"Well, now we are even for the goblin pot. Now touch the Seed Core and get your reward, my friend," the sprite said.
With a smile and a confused cock of his head, Richter reached out and laid his hand on the brown sphere. Light from the green veins pulsed, and a prompt filled his vision.
"Congratulations, you have found a Seed Core. This can be planted to grow almost any type of tree. It will grow into whatever best fits the needs of the region. Will you plant the core in a safe area?" "You have been offered a quest, Tree of Power 1. Plant the Seed Core in a safe area. Reward unknown. Yes or no?" Well, this was a no-brainer. Even if Sion wasn't cuckoo for this thing, it seemed like a good cause anyway. He selected yes. "Alert! As master of a place of power, you have the chance to grow a high-level tree if you plant the Seed Core within the boundaries of your domain."
Another exciting opportunity for his village! In addition to the Seed Core, there were other items at the back of the cavern, many buried just below the surface. They spent the next hour searching and found a multitude of packs and weapons. The faint light from the moss and Seed Core was not enough to truly inspect the items. The stench was also growing unbearable, so they dragged everything they had found back with them to the surface. The first taste of clean air was a relief. They set the items they had found to the side and just sat, breathing fresh air for a few minutes. A thought intruded on Richter's recovery time. "Will Hisako be okay if I plant the Seed Core at the village? If it takes centuries for a hearth tree to make one, then she might want it back." Sion shook his head.
"The Seed Core was found by us. The forest obviously wanted it to be a part of our destiny. I believe in you, Richter. Just use it for good." "Now," Sion said, "one last task. Skeeling armor is usually resilient, but that monster was something else. I say we skin it and see if anything useful can be made."
"Of course, my friend, of course," Richter said with a smile. "But after that, we have to take a bath in the river."
Chapter 18, Day 34, Shaban 22, 15,368 ABG.
It took over 2 weeks to reach the edge of the forest. No other major events occurred after they found the Seed Core, and they were able to enjoy the peace of the journey. Many of the items they had found in the Skeeling's lair were rubbish, old moldy clothes and rusty tools. There were several pouches adding up to a few gold coins. One item did stand out, though.
"You have received High Steel Longsword. Damage, 14 to 20. Durability, 37 of 50. Item class, uncommon. Quality, superb. Weight, 2.8 kilograms.
Well, it wasn't a magical sword of griffin reaping or anything spectacular, but it was a definite step up from his short sword, which was looking rather battered anyway. Leaving the trees was a bit of a shock to the senses. After weeks of shade and the myriad sounds of the small creatures around them, they were confronted with cultivated land. It was strange to see the wide open sky after so much time in the forest. Before them was an ocean of green grass on gently sloping hills. The sky was cloudless and was a smooth azure like cornflowers in spring. A broad dirt road was several hundred yards from the edge of the forest. The travelers upon it raised a cloud of dust 10 feet in the air. There was some traffic in both directions on it, but the majority was moving south towards a town seen in the distance. Sion and Richter approached the road, and a quick round of questioning informed them that the road to Law passed through the town. They joined the flow of traffic towards the settlement. After only a few minutes, the dirt in the air found its way into their mouths. "Can't even get away from pollution in medieval times," Richter thought with irritation. The time spent traveling on the road was unpleasant, to say the least. Before too long, though, the town loomed in front of them. A stone wall surrounded it, 15 feet high, with towers at each corner. The town gates were wide open, and two bored-looking guards merely waved traffic through. Until Richter and Sion, that is.
"Papers,"
the older guard said without changing his demeanor, his hand outstretched. Richter stared at him without speaking. Letting out a long, suffering sigh, the guard repeated himself.
"Papers."
Richter put on a fake smile. "I'm sorry, but I didn't know we needed papers. I didn't see anyone in front of us hand you anything."
"You don't need anything, but the spit here does," the younger guard said in an aggressive tone.
Sion breathed heavily in irritation.
"Stay easy, Jonesy. No need to get agitated," the other guard said. "Now where did you folks come from?"
"We just finished traveling through the forest."
"Came from Rion, did you?"
Richter thought quickly, and remembered that Rion was a neighboring kingdom on the other side of the serrated mountains. If his recall was correct from the game, the kingdom of Rion was less developed and had large populations of non-humans.
Yeah. We crossed through a pass in the mountains and then traveled down through the forest. Your town is the first that we have seen."
"Failure to declare at the borders is an offense and requires you to be detained."
Jonesy's voice was full of righteous indignation, but it was clear that the main source of his ire was Sion. His glare never left the small humanoid.
Whoa, Jonesy! I told you to be calm!"
A note of iron had worked its way into the older guard's voice. Turning to Richter, he said,
"Now you seem like a good sort. I'm sure you didn't mean to flout the king's laws, now did you?"
The answer was obvious, so as sincerely as possible, Richter answered,
"No, of course not.
Now, I have a cousin that works at the border, and if you wanted to leave the passage fee with me, I'm sure I could get it to him. No harm, no foul."
As the guard said it, he looked Richter meaningfully in the eye.
"That sounds like a wonderful idea," Richter replied. "Of course, I would feel better if I could offer a bit of coin to pay for the cost of the journey."
The guard smiled brightly.
"Well, if it makes you feel better, who am I to object?"
Not knowing what amount was appropriate, he took 3 silver from his purse and paused a moment. The expectant look on the guard's face made him dig a bit deeper, and he pulled out 5 more. At a pleased nod from the guard, Richter closed his purse and handed over the coins. For an older man, the guard made the coins disappear fast enough. The liveried man waved the 2 companions through. As they passed, he handed them a piece of paper he had scribbled on.
"Take this to the ministry office and get a bond for your friend there."
Nodding at Sion,
"You will continue to run into trouble without the right papers. Just keep straight on the main street until you see a large white building with a green slate roof on the right."
Nodding thanks to the man, Richter took the paper and began to journey away, but on impulse, moved back to the gate. At the guard's curious glance, he took another 5 silver out of his purse and said,
"It is clear that we are new here, and I would appreciate any help navigating your town and country. I would be very appreciative," he said, shaking the money in his partially closed fist, the coins making a slight tinkling sound.
"Well, I have always fancied myself an ambassador," the guard chuckled, taking the coins and making them disappear just as quickly as the first 8. "When you get to the ministry, As for Edwin, tell him Calder sent you. It might also be a good idea to tell them you lost the papers rather than you didn't declare your friend upon entering our fair land. Just a piece of friendly advice, eh? And if you need a place to stay, I would recommend the Whistling Hen. They may not be the cheapest, but for a copper, the stable boy will pay close attention to your horses. Make sure they don't wander off in the night, if you catch my meaning. They also don't mind if you have friends from various places, he said, nodding at Sion again.
Thank you for your help. My name is Richter, he said, extending his hand. Calder extended his own, and they clasped wrists. The guard's hand was rough with calluses.
You might want to find some clothes as well, indicating the green armor they both wore. You kind of stand out. Maybe I'll see you in the common room later and we can share an ale. The Whistling Hen has great service, he said with a laugh. And either way, welcome to Leaf's Crossing.
Somewhat confused, but happy for the advice, Richter simply nodded and smiled. Even though it had cost some money to enter the town, it seemed his increased charisma was already coming in handy. With a slight pull on the bridle, his pony started walking again, Sion and his own pony moving along beside him. Throughout the exchange, the younger guard had stared coldly at the sprite. After they had moved up the road for a few minutes, Richter asked, "Why did he call you that?" Sion took a moment before answering. "I had always heard stories that some humans harbored a hate for us and other races, but I had hoped it wasn't true. What he called me was an insult. I have never heard about needing to register before, though. From the stories older sprites have told, the City of Law has many races within it." Richter felt somewhat disheartened. He had hoped that blind hatred wouldn't follow him to this world. It seemed some things were universal, however. They walked for a while until they came upon a white building with a green roof, just as Calder had said. A coat of arms, blue swords pointing downward on a field of green, was hung at the top of the building, the same image Richter had seen on the guards' shirts. A copper coin each to the valet ensured that their mounts would be watched while they were inside. The entrance led into a large room with multiple hallways leading off of it. People moved quickly in all directions. Lines of various colors were on the floor, some tracing into open doorways and others leading off into the distance. Seeing that all of the lines converged at the desk at the far end of the room, he joined the queue of people waiting. First, racial prejudice, and now the DMV. So far, Richter wasn't a fan of the kingdom. After an hour of standing in line, they reached the front. A severe older woman looked down at them from an elevated platform. A large wooden desk was between them. Her hair was in a gray bun, and her mouth seemed set into a perpetual frown. She sneered slightly when she spoke to them.
"Yes?"
she asked in a scratchy voice that would put a pack-a-day smoker to shame. Richter plastered a smile onto his face. "Hello, ma'am. I was told by the city guard that I needed to get papers for my companion," nodding to Sion. Apparently his increased charisma was powerless in the face of entrenched bureaucracy. Pinning Richter to the floor with her gaze, the woman rasped out,
"Failure to declare a non-human upon entering Eve is a serious offense."
"No, no," Richter said quickly. "We simply lost our papers. I have this note." He handed her the paper that Calder had given him. With disdain, the woman slowly took the paper and scanned it. Flicking her gaze back and forth between Richter and Sion, she grunted as she read. With one last long look at them, as if to question why the world had to have such imbeciles in it, she took out a piece of paper from a stack on her left and jotted down a quick set of notes.
"Take this to requisition processing and get a note of dividend. Then take the note to accounting and pay the requisite fee. They will give you an AIY6 form. Have that signed by Middle Registry and return the form back to this desk after obtaining the signatures of 3 people in good standing within the town. At that point..."
As she rattled off these directions, with the sure tone of a general giving commands on the battlefield, Richter began to wail internally. His panic ratcheted up with each new mini-quest he was being given. Even Sion, who had faced a horde of goblins and an undead sorcerer, paled under her onslaught.
With the feeling of a man without air, Richter made one last effort to keep the two of them from being drowned in a week of bureaucracy.
"I need to talk to Edwin," he blurted.
She said slowly, dragging the syllable out until the sound turned into a question. Richter was fairly certain she was doing her best to make him catch fire with her mind. After a seeming eternity, she said,
"Follow the blue and white dashed line to the second floor."
The woman's voice was like two rocks scraping together. Coarse rocks. Saying thank you, Richter and Sion walked. Walked rather quickly, truth be told, away from the fearsome creature. After only a moment of searching, they found the appropriate line and followed it to the second floor. It led to a door with non-human affairs carved above it. It might have taken days to get here if he had followed the proper channels. Richter realized that the money he had given to Calder was probably the best money he had ever spent in either world. Whether the interaction was due to his charisma or luck, he'd never know, but he was thankful. Knocking on the door, they swiftly heard something crash against the other side of it, and a voice shouted, "Go away!" Richter hoped he hadn't spoken too soon. With the only other option being to go back downstairs and face Edna the Terrible, Richter steeled himself and went inside the room. A portly man sat behind a desk piled with papers. His robe hung open, revealing a simple white shirt and brown pants. The shirt had several stains upon it, and by the faded pattern, they had been accumulated over some time. The man looked up from whatever he was working on and snarled.
"I said I was busy. Who are you, anyway? Do I need to call the guards?"
The greasy civil servant opened his mouth and drew in a sharp breath. Before Edwin could call for help, a call that could land Sion and he in jail, Richter said,
"Calder sent us. He said you could help."
"Calder? That no-good son of a bitch! He still owes me from that game of kings last week. And you thought you would engender sympathy by using his name. Ha! God! He sent us to give you the money he owes you,"
Sion interrupted loudly.
"He did?"
Edwin asked, sounding confused.
"He did?"
Richter echoed, sounding confused himself. Sion widened his eyes, set his mouth and indicated Edwin with a not-so-subtle head movement. Richter looked back at Edwin, whose mouth was still open as if he was undecided whether to finish his outcry. Taking what seemed like his 350,000th sigh since coming to the land, Richter squared his shoulders and more definitively said,
"He did."
A large grin landed upon the face of the government official.
"Well, now, that changes everything, my friends. So you have my 3 gold pieces with you, then?"
Never trusting a smile, Richter narrowed his eyes. Plastering a large smile of his own on, he said,
"Of course. It would be great if we could finish here quickly, because we need to drop off our bounties."
"Bounties?"
Edwin asked, his smile slipping a bit.
"Yes," Richter said, his own smile widening. "They are really beginning to stink. Taking only debt-on-delivery contracts can surely make things easier, but it's hard on the nose when they start to pile up. You have to bring the whole body back now, too. So much easier when they only needed the head. Isn't that right, Sion?"
The sprite stood at the back of the room caressing the hilt of his sword. Upon hearing his name, the sprite just gave an evil smile that did not reach his eyes. Shaking his head as if to mourn the loss of a simpler time, Richter reached for his purse to pull out the money and said innocently,
"You did say 3 gold pieces?
During his soliloquy, Edwin's eyes had widened until it seemed the man's bushy eyebrows would fly off the top of his head.
Well, that is to say, I think I confused Calder with another fellow. Qualder, hey, yes, I remember now. Calder only owed me 7 silver and 5 coppers.
Well, that would be an easy mistake to make," Richter said with a smile.
Counting out the required funds, he placed them in Edwin's sweaty palm.
"Now we are all friends. We have done you a favor by helping you collect on a debt. What are friends for, if not favors, though, right?
Perhaps you could help us as well. We apparently need papers so that my companion can travel through the kingdom."
Nodding quickly, Edwin moved to get out various documents and stamps. As he started to get their paperwork in order, Richter said, "While we are here, maybe you can tell me why we need to have papers at all. It also might be nice to have a reference for someone in government over in law. We like making friends. I'm a people person, right, Scion?" A grim chuckle was his only answer. With another look at the